Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day
81.
My word, what a day. Did you hear the conference, Mike? The press conference?
No, I was cooking.
From the government.
I was cooking dinner.
Think yourself incredibly lucky. Sadly, I was subjected to it. They have finally lost the plot. Although, personally, I thought they'd lost the plot days ago.
I was going to say that myself.
Ah, but little did I know it could actually get more stupid than it already was, Mike. Not even joking. Right, who have we got in? Let me see the chat. Hello, Kim. Hello, Jonathan. Oh, Kim's eating chicken, beans, potatoes and carrots. Oh, and a delivery tomorrow. We have much excitement here, Kim. We have a delivery tonight between 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock.
Yes, I'm going to get the cold box out.
And Mike needs to get the cold box out for this because we are literally just out of one webinar. That finished at like 1 minute to seven. Mike's got a meeting with hundreds of people. He's actually upgraded his account to 500 people.
Whoever turns up.
He has no idea.
Right, if you want to join, the thing's in the calendar.
Right, I will deal with it all, Mike, right. And I will see you later.
Right, I'll be back.
Are you flattening your hair?
Yes.
Right. CQ, Deb, CQ.
I've got jobs to do.
Tell me about it. Oh, Jonathan says today's been mad. Absolutely. But your office add-ins have been approved. That's fantastic. Fantastic, Jonathan. Maybe you can tell us what they do. Their fault but my heart attack. Oh, yes. That's clients. Could be worse, though, Jonathan. Could be working with the government. They have lost the plot. So we were in this meeting, but then we were out of this webinar. Then we're into Marooned. Then Mike, halfway through, I think he's going about quarter to. But he's actually already got somebody in the waiting room for an 8 o'clock meeting. They're keen. So he's doing that. Then when I finish in Marooned, I'm going in the meeting. But I don't think I'm welcome till 9 o'clock. But 9 o'clock till 11 o'clock, delivery due. So what we're doing is, because we've got some ice in it and... Don't tell Lola, but we've got her birthday cake stuff. We have ice cream for the dog. So instead of getting that into the freezer outside, which is like through 15 locked doors, we're going to put it in the freezer bag at the door and put it away later. So from about an hour ago, the day was quite peaceful. And then an hour ago, which constantly happens and drives me mad. Until I can get Mike off to bed, I get no peace then. Till like 11 o'clock at night. So it's chaotic. Let's just say it's chaotic. But we're here now. Yes, the government. Did you get to see the press conference, Jonathan? It was Grant Shapps. Do you know, they do that guy no favours. Is he transport? He's the Minister for Transport. So he wanted to talk about bicycles. Everybody else wanted to talk about serious stuff, and he wanted to talk about bicycles. They are basically giving us a £50 voucher to get your bike back on the road. So if you've got a bike, but it would need some kind of maintenance. I was wondering, I don't think we have a bike anymore. My dad bought one and he used it about once. It was when the price of petrol went up and he decided that was it. He was biking everywhere. But at the time, he was a school crossing patrol person. So he didn't fancy actually biking with his lollipop. So he used it once, but I'm sure that went. So I don't think we've got one. But if you have an old bike, I don't know what proof you're going to need, but you're going to get this £50 thing. But that wasn't the funniest thing. Because he's the transport guy, he starts talking about the next phase of easing lockdown, which is scheduled for the 15th of June. Now, incidentally, we were also scheduled for a 3-week review that week. They've pushed that back to the back end of June. I think it was the 27th. So where is they're supposed to, by law, look at this, review this thing once every 3 weeks? It's now gone to like 5.5 and no one's actually noticed. Then just before the press conference, don't know if you saw this bit, Jonathan, they announced that they wouldn't be doing any more press conferences. I don't know when that's from, but and their rationale is the viewer numbers are down. And as somebody pointed out on Facebook, it's not a game show. I mean, people maybe are on their way home from work or working at home, and they, you know, they can't actually watch it at that point, but they will catch up later. But no, they're not getting the live views, so they're going to be in the press conferences. Then it got more ludicrous. So he's talking about the next stage of easing the lockdown, which is the 15th of June. And there will be more people on public transport, and that it is now being brought into law that if you are on public transport, you need to wear something to cover your face. Not an N95 mask, unless you happen to have an unlimited supply of them, but just something. So a scarf or whatever, something to cover your face. And that is going to actually be in law. He brought with him the head honcho from one of the transport unions. And the question then came up, who's enforcing this? Because if you think about the Underground or a London bus, there's no police. So who's going to enforce it? And his answer was, you press guys asked the same question when we said we were banning alcohol. I don't actually remember that. But apparently, about 4 or 5 years ago, they banned alcohol on public transport. I didn't think that was a thing before then, but clearly I don't use it enough. And it didn't need enforcing. Everybody just abided by the rules. And I thought, that is slightly different, though, isn't it? Than face covering. Plus the fact, good morning, Paul. Plus the fact, they said it didn't apply to young children or the disabled. But can you imagine getting on, and the disabled included those with breathing problems, where to put fabric over their face would make it even more difficult to breathe. And I'm thinking, well, shouldn't they be in the shielded category? Just saying. But if you got onto any kind of public transport and you didn't have a mask on, you'd be given more than a stink eye, wouldn't you? I mean, I've turned into like Godzilla looking out of the window thinking, are you from the same household? So if I was on a bus and somebody came on and they didn't have a face covering on, I mean, seriously? Yeah, it was a bit of a carve up, Jonathan. He couldn't answer any of the difficult questions, which weren't even that difficult, but they revolved around the kind of thing. Why have you put quarantine in for 14 days now when you didn't do it in March? And the answer was absolutely ridiculous, which is, well, it wouldn't have made a difference anyway. Really? It did in New Zealand. What was the second point of that he made, which was utterly ridiculous? The whole thing was a farce. But he got to a point where they were asking intelligent questions and he couldn't answer them. At the same time, everybody wanted to ask him about the business secretary. I'm sure, Jonathan, you've seen the business secretary. If you've not, I'll find a video. It's worth it just for the laugh. The business secretary yesterday rocked up in Parliament. They are socially distancing in Parliament, so he was 2 metres away from everybody. And he was giving an address some about something or other, business related. And he coughed and spluttered his way through this piece that he had. He was sweating profusely. He was mopping his head. It was utterly ridiculous. And even his colleagues were like backing off. I must find the video. It's no longer on the BBC homepage, but I will find it. It was appalling. He had also on Tuesday had a 45-minute meeting with Boris Johnson and, oh, there he is. Oh, he's actually tested negative 4 minutes ago. But if you watch the video, you'd swear he had anthrax and the plague. So here's a video of what he was like yesterday, but they've said he's tested negative. I've no idea what was wrong with him, but honestly, it was difficult to watch. So today, Boris couldn't do the press conference because he's in isolation again after this meeting. He could not make this up. So Kim says, evidently, we no longer have to socially distance. We just can't go to work. Seems all the government officials think it's OK to protest in mass. We don't even know what to think anymore. Well, we have had some protests over here. About the Black Lives Matter thing. But they did socially distance. It was yesterday in London. They were in a park. And I thought, what are all these people doing? because of, I thought if there was a protest, there would be no social distancing. But there was this protest and they did socially distance. It was amazing to see, but they did. I mean, how sensible, how sensible. Mainly in London, I think the protests have been. You can't really get into the centre of Manchester, can you, Jonathan? I don't think they'd let you in to do any kind of protesting. But yeah, they did do that. There was talk in the papers of taking 2 metres down to 1 metre. But most people, to be honest, are still staying at home because the rule still is, if you can work from home, work from home. And I foresee that for quite some considerable time. We're taking bookings at the moment. Mike said, I need to think about where I'm going to be. And it was September. The first week in September. So people are already assuming that he'll be working from home in September and that meetings will be happening online in September. So most people seem sensible. But what annoys me is we could all get out faster if idiots weren't out there already. And when you look at the rolling figures for this week are no different than the rolling figures for last week. So if the R was at 0.9, the R is still at 0.9. Ooh, Simon's up to his elbows with a new case. Fabulous. And what does it look like? Is it like the old cheese grater? My ultimate computer, and still is my ultimate computer, 14 years later. Never had one. But if you could get me a case like that, I'd do that. We are seriously looking at a PC. I never thought I'd hear that. The word serious and PC. Basically for a broadcast machine. The Mac can't cope. I said to Mike the other day, I get so infuriated with my Mac. If it doesn't respond instantly, then, you know, there's something wrong with it. But when you realise all that it's actually doing, it is actually doing quite a lot, fair enough, because I never do just one thing. But for the broadcasting thing, it really does freak it out. So the other night, two nights this week, I think it was cool yesterday, wasn't it? And that was Wednesday. Monday and Tuesday this week, I've got a fan on my desk. It's not a huge thing. It's probably about 10 inches. And it was like, I'll put it on me for 5 minutes and I'll turn it around and put it on the computer for 5 minutes. Now it's mine for 5 minutes. And overnight, I could tell as I just started the backups on the thing, overnight, I had to leave the fan on the computer all night. I mean, it shouldn't be like this, Apple. It really shouldn't. Relatively boring. Oh, let me have a look at it. We looked last night when we used to look for PCs, which is very interesting. This, when we used to look for PCs, we always looked for the business models, not the home models. But now you've got to look for the gaming models. The gaming models are the most powerful. So it was a gaming model I looked at. They didn't have. Oh, I see one. Now, it says 7. Is it the compact or is it the full tower? I've got anywhere here between £92 and £150. Oh, no, £200. Shall I look at the 200? Which one is it? I'm looking at scan.co.uk. They're in Bolton. That's about 20 miles from us. And that's where we used to go every Saturday morning after we'd done the computer fair at Bowlers. We'd head off up to Scan with Mayor. And he would do the rounds of the place. And then I'd sit in the car with him while Mike went in and bought whatever we needed, which was pretty much a weekly thing. Right, a mid-tower. I see a mid-tower. Dark-tinted tempered glass at £100, or another one at £150. Or another one with a light tinted. Yeah, I'm seeing that. I'm going to pick that one at £150. Let's have a look at that one. That's nice. That is nice. That's probably what we would go for, something like that. Possibly a smidgen taller. Depends how many hard drives I can get in it. How many bays has he got? They are way nicer than the PCs I used to have. Much nicer. And the cases were black. You know, they were cream in my day. White inside with a clear side. Oh, hang on. That's not the white inside one. Let me have another look. Is there a white inside one on here? Oh, I see a white one totally. Oh, that's nice. Do you know how much I used to pay for a case? £17. This was probably about 20 years ago. About 20 years ago. But obviously these are pro-level gaming things, aren't they? Liking the look of that white one. That is nice. What are you doing to me? Knowing I'm in the market potentially for a PC. Oh, it's nice. I can see potential for a broadcast device with that. It's going to happen one day. I know it is. We went and we had a look at what was available. And I just can't face building one again. I can't. But they will build you one to spec. But they also had like PCs that you can buy already made up. Sometimes they actually make them up while you wait. I did that. We got the church's PC from there. So we rocked up one day and I'd looked at it online and we'd picked one. And he said, I'll just put it together for you. So we went off and had lunch, came back and the PC was built for us. This one's got the PC of the month, 1,500. 16 gig of RAM, a 1 terabyte SSD and includes Windows, but we wouldn't need the Windows thing because we've got our own licenses for Windows, which should take the price down considerably. But yeah, we had to look at the gaming machines for the power. What they don't do, and I'm quite surprised, they don't seem to have a dedicated broadcast machine. But given how many people are doing it, that would seem like a logical idea to me. So Deb says my hubby had mine specially designed to handle the graphics and speed. Great if I was a gamer. That's the thing. I mean, it doesn't... What I'd foresee this PC doing, and I do foresee that it will happen, the only issue I've got is that Wirecast that I use is cross-platform, so that wouldn't be a problem. But I don't have a license for the Windows version. So I'd have to do some serious sweet-talking with tech... is it Telestream? Telestream Wirecast. To see what I could do in terms of crossing over. I don't see why that should be a problem myself. Your platform shouldn't matter. Hello, Paul! But whatever we needed to do, we'd have to check the software out first and then we would look at the PC. But I'd want the PC, I mean, it wouldn't really need a terabyte hard drive. I mean, it'd probably not cost effective to have any less. Oh, am I going to the dark side? We're discussing a broadcast machine. Simon's got a fabulous case that he's built his own Mac with. But I'm saying that the Mac is struggling when it comes to broadcasting and the quality I would like it to broadcast in. So one option is to have a separate Mac to do the broadcast. I'm actually thinking that probably wouldn't make that much difference. But with a PC, you could spec up the bits that mattered to you for broadcast. Now, I use a place called Scan Computers. They actually supply the Queen. They've got one of her seals. I think, is it on the bottom here? Investors in People. I don't see it on the website, but it was in the showroom. So if the Queen buys something from a company, she gives them like a seal to say they've supplied the Queen. So they used to have one of those. So you could spec that up. And what we're saying is I wouldn't need like 15 hard drives in it, to be honest. I'd need a really good processor and a decent amount of RAM. And concentrate on the broadcast side. But this company make music PCs, gaming PCs, stuff for cameras and pro video. But what they don't do is a machine that's dedicated to broadcast, which I find very strange. Very strange. Although while I'm here, I'll just have a look in here and see if there's anything in here. And it's broadcast equipment. So they do actually have a whole section for broadcast, and it does say next day delivered workstation. So there's a possibility, and they'll probably build one for you with whatever you want. I've got sidetracked now with these lovely, lovely cameras. No, walk away from the camera. My iPhone just struggles to focus, and I think I need something that actually focuses. That'd be a start, wouldn't it? Now, was that it? Clearly that wasn't it. Okay, was it the other way around? No, that's an Echo Dot. That's not what I'm after either. Crying out loud. Let's have a look. Oh, they don't seem to have anything that's actually built up for that. They have equipment, separates that you'd have to put together. So not particularly going over to the dark side. Just having a machine that's dedicated to do one single job. Having said that, there's an app out this week for Windows, and I really want to try it. But it wouldn't make sense to try it on a virtual machine. So I'm after getting my hands on Mike's Surface while his back's turned. We'll see how that goes, because I want to try it. Oh no, that would not be good. This seems to do 11 hard drives and 2 SSDs in one configuration. That might help. This YouTuber might be helpful. Okay, I've got that link, Paul. Let's go and have a look at that. Let's have a look. Stream Professor. OBS. Yep, I've been testing OBS. OBS being free is both good and bad. Yeah, it could well be. If he's got anything in there about hardware, he's got... no, that's Twitch. USB capture card. Yep, that could work. I will leave that there and I will have a look. I guess the other side of it is processing video, which, again, what I was thinking, which I could double up this machine, because if you're only using it for broadcast, and you're only, even if you're broadcasting like once a day, it's still there doing nothing the rest of the time. So another option would be to put in enough hard drive space, and again, memory and processor power, with a fantastic graphics card, and have it processing video, which would take the pressure off the Mac having to process video. See you later.
She's been out.
That won't stop her wanting to go out again.
No.
Is the doorbell on for the nice delivery man?
The doorbell's on. The ice box is in there.
And the man trap's on the front path.
Yeah.
Just so he doesn't escape. Okay. Mike's heading off with all his hair flattened down. Bless him. And the weather app alerted you to a downpour. Paul, we've got it here. It's raining right now. It's fabulous. I'm loving it. This is the kind of June I like. Lola's not impressed though, because the grass is wet. So she likes to come back, have to have a drink, and then go in the garden and sun herself. And obviously she stood there with, like, my fur's getting wet, can somebody hold an umbrella over me? Oh dear. You are fully with us now, Jonathan. Excellent. We're talking about PCs and the potential purchase of one. Don't be afraid. Seriously. Don't be afraid. What do you mean you're not in tomorrow, Jonathan? Oh no, this looks like he could be having a nap, people. It does not look like my day. You've never seen a downpour ever. Wow. Oh, you need to come over here on holiday. We have some spectacular downpours. But then it's rainy Manchester. We always say that, rainy Manchester. Of course, while we've been in lockdown, the weather's been glorious. Absolutely glorious. Was it last summer, Jonathan, or the one before? It never stopped raining. I think it was last year. It just rained and rained and rained. The only good week of weather was in February when we went up to Alverston, and it was beautiful. But the rest of the year was shocking. And a lot of our friends had decided on staycations, and were not pleased. They were not pleased. But the year before, it was boiling hot. And they were in their garden getting a tan, which I never, ever do. No, if it looks like the sun's coming out, then the gazebo comes out. So we open the patio doors on the extension and then put the gazebo in front of them. So no light gets in at all. I'm like a vampire. In fact, I went to bed this morning again just as the sun was coming up. So I am definitely a vampire. So, Jonathan, planning on walking this route. Let me have a look at the route. Ooh. The only route thing I've ever done is with the one on my Apple Watch. And that only works in hindsight. Have you planned this out in hand? Oh, wow. That looks long. Let's have a look. Where is that in relation to Civilization, Jonathan? Wow. It's miles away. You're allowed to travel that far. That's, I was going to say near Glossop. Yeah, it's north of Glossop, isn't it? Ooh, I wonder how busy it'll be. How long is it? The Dovestone Reservoir Circular Walk, 14.2 kilometres. Jonathan. We were going to expect photographs of this, should you do this. Is it hilly? £1.80 a day for parking. Can't argue with that, can you? What's making me laugh here is when you look at the reviews. Some of these are like 2 months ago, which wasn't that in the middle of lockdown. 18 days ago, 14 days ago. That's just what you found on Google and you go in with it. Why not? Why not? So 14.2 kilometres, about 7 miles. The last one I did, because the Catanians have a walking group, and the walking group did one that is only for the, it's only for the boys. Frightened of the ladies. Frightened of being shown up by the ladies. but they did an open one where we all went, and it was, oh, down towards Chester Way. Is it Marbury? Marbury something. Marbury Park? Marbury something. Let's have a look, see if we can find it. There's Marbury, it's a village. Yep, that looks like the one. It must be some kind of park. But I was bored silly. Honestly, walking's fine as long as there's stuff to see. But whoever had planned this walk out in Marbury had gone like in the park areas, and the grass was up to your head. There was these paths through it, but there was literally nothing to see. You want to create a 4-hour magpies? Ooh, let me think about that, Jonathan. Yeah, like that's not happening. What you could do is catch up on all the ones that you could pick your favourite after hours, and listen to the audio. There you go. Or you could start a mini MacBytes marathon. You could start from like episode 100 or something. Or I could pick you a playlist and give you a playlist. And then you can report back on what you heard. That'd work. Or you could record a piece for us. Yeah, this Marbury one, not great. I hope there's good things to see there. You should actually, shouldn't you? With that one. Let's have a look. Lyme Park, slightly in the other direction, Jonathan. That's beautiful. Let's have a look. Greenfield. So you should be able to get to it from Greenfield. Let's have a look. Maps. Although they'll think I'm meaning a place. Greenfield. Right, gotcha. There it is. Right. And although it's a footpath, can Pegman see it? Oh, he can! You could virtually do this walk, Jonathan. It'd save a lot of time. There you go. If you go to Google Maps... Oh, Jonathan, that's so not me. It's literally... Oh, no, hang on. There's something a little bit to see there. A little bit. It's very high up one side. So you can't actually see over one side, but you can see over the other. But, yeah, it's probably a no from me. I'd just go to Dunham. But I'm not sure if Dunham's open, which is a good point. But, yeah, you could virtually do this. And there's a dog. There's a picture of a dog there. Unless my eyes are worse than they usually are. I'm looking at these pictures that are on Google Maps, and they've all looked like they've got double vision. Somebody else check, and just because otherwise I'm going to need an optician. Playlist, what playlist? I haven't created a playlist yet, Tracy. I was threatening Jonathan with a 4-hour playlist of the MacBytes best bits. We could do a playlist of all of the Siri sketches, couldn't we? Because we all know that the Siris are the star of the show anyway. So is this hilly in parts? Let's go back a bit and see if you actually get to a crescendo at some point. Somewhere like Dovestone Edge. That sounds likely, doesn't it? But that's further up. Is it a picnic area? And now I'm interested, Jonathan. Oh, there's some beautiful views there. Oh, and there's the car park. That car park's not overly big, Jonathan, but the view is beautiful. Oh, let me take this link. It's hideously long. I'm going to shorten it. And hopefully it takes you to exactly the same place. And that would be the view as you arrive. I'm quite liking the thought of that now. It's next to the sailing club, Jonathan. less idiots and more car parking. Doesn't look that big for the place of it, but I guess it could probably take... maybe about 100, something like that. That could be the sailing club, though. So maybe there's another car park somewhere. But the fact there's like a wall, it actually looks raised. The reservoir looks raised way above that. Now, don't do a Whaley Bridge while you're there, Jonathan, when the dam burst. Don't do that. But it does look beautiful. That looks gorgeous. Yeah, so I need to do a playlist, do I? Lola would love the walk. She would adore the walk. She would. She would. I'm all right if it looks like that because there's something to look at. But this one that we went on, it was just... I said to Mike after about a mile, are we ever actually going to see anything? Because I'd taken a camera with me. And I thought, well, you know, I'm more into cameras than walking. But I thought, you know, fair enough. I'll take the camera and I'll take some pictures. And there was literally... I mean, the highlight of my day was the bin. There was nothing to take photos of. There was no river, nothing like that. We did actually have a dog with us that day that we went there. Romeo came with us. Not mentioned Romeo before. Romeo is a Jackapoo. No, he's not. He's a Labradoodle. A small Labradoodle. In fact, I've probably got a picture of him somewhere. Let me see if I can find a picture of him. And he belongs to a friend of ours. And the husband, the wife and their two girls went on this walk. And they took him with them. My heart was in my mouth, honestly. It really was. They'd let him run riot off the lead and he dived through this fence, which was fine. But he also then tried to dive through another one and it was all barbed wire. Oh, I needed to lie down. Honestly, I did. Jonathan, you're not going to believe this. You know, I said we had a walking group in the Catinians. The rules are you have to be able to get there on public transport. And one of the last walks that they shared the photographs from that I've got here was November in 2019. And the last one was Greenfield and Upper Mill, which is very close. So I can see things that they saw, although the weather's shocking. You're much better now. It's all full of leaves and all kinds of stuff. And they always finish off with a meal. So they've obviously gone into some kind of hostelry there for a meal. Right, so I'm looking for one of the very first things we did. No, it wasn't that one. It was after that. Good grief, what's all this here? This is by date. I'm looking for the Marbury Park walk. Where is it? Elverston. Cross country. There we go. Marbury Country Park. Ramble. 'Twas a ramble. Where's the dog? All I'm interested in is the dog. Tell me there's a picture of the dog. Let's have a look. Oh, surely somebody took a picture of the dog. Well, people afterwards, but I don't see the dog. Oh, it's bringing back the full horror of it, this. It's just so dark and dingy. No, I'm not seeing... I think I had one of the dog. Maybe it didn't get put up with everybody else's. Oh, that's very annoying. I do not see the hound. Little black dog he was. Gorgeous, though. I'll find one, but I can't find one yet. A few people take... I don't mind dogs, but I do think it would be quite dangerous to have them off a lead. And they were letting them off the lead, which would concern me. One from the thing, there were cows in fields. You don't know whether there's any sheep around and farmers have the right to shoot dogs. And then this barbed wire, just dangerous. Dangerous as far as I'm concerned. I've got a picture of the back of him. That doesn't actually help, does it? I'm sure he's a Labradoodle. I'm sure he is. They threatened to get another dog, but they never got the second dog. So let me see if I can get this picture to you. I know, let's just do that. Right, and where's the cropping tool? There he is. Shame I haven't got a picture of... I'm sure I have got a picture of the front of him. I just don't know where it is. There he is. Right, let's do that and get that. Up there. There we go. There's Romeo. I think he must be about... I'm trying to think how old he is. Probably about 4 now. About 4. Let's put the link in. You can only see the back of him, unfortunately, but I'm sure he's a labradoodle. He's a bit bigger than Ollie, who's a jackapoo. But there you go. So, yeah, it was dark and it was dour, and I'm hoping for much better from Jonathan. Dogs will run a sheep to death. We used to have sheep on my parents' farm. That freaks me out. Am I doing a onesome? I am. Mike's in a meeting. It's been hectic, Tracy. Mentioned that at the beginning. We've literally just come out of a webinar, 1:01. Then Mike's gone down and sorted out a big bag by the door, which is our... It's like a picnic box, but the picnic box we've got... It's not really picnic. You unzip it, and then on the inside, it's like a cool box. So we've filled it full of water and ice that's frozen solid. So when the delivery arrives, because Mike isn't going to be available until about 11 o'clock tonight, but when the delivery arrives, we'll be able to put the frozen stuff in this bag. So he is doing another session from 7 o'clock till at least 10 to 10:30. I'm doing marooned. And then I'm joining him, I think it's 9 o'clock. That's the plan. Subject to the delivery man arriving between 9 and 11. Looks like a doodly. I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. It's a long time since I've actually seen him, to be honest. They got him as a pup. And they got him from a local breeder, literally up the road. So they knew that they were getting him and when he'd be arriving and stuff. But I didn't actually meet him until they'd got him. And then I only met him when we were out walking. We went to their house for dinner and he was there then. And oh, he was into everything. But I haven't seen him probably for about 2 years. So I can't actually remember. I'm sure he's a labradoodle though. I'm sure he is. Because again, I think it was one of the kids is allergic. The mum is on the right of that photo and then the kids are... the other two there with the pink top and the blue top. It's scary looking at them as well because I think they were both at primary school when that was taken and they're both at high school now. And they've grown like 3 foot. But hopefully the dog hasn't. He's so sweet. He's a sweet dog. I was trying to talk them into getting another one because he's Romeo and I said, you need a Juliet. And they agreed, but the dad wasn't having it, unfortunately. So as far as I know, there has not been a new member of the family yet. It's only a matter of time, we're thinking. Trouble is, if you leave it too long, then the dog that you've already got might feel edged out. Oh, big news as well, big news. And I have got some pictures, but I'll put them in for tomorrow night. If you have ever been with us on a Brooklyn's Request show, you'll have heard Kath, Lisa and Carolyn. Kath's the mum, Lisa and Carolyn are the girls. It's Lisa that lives on the military base and won't be leaving it for the foreseeable. And that was part of the problem. They had 2 cats and they were both fairly young, I think, these cats originally. And I know you have to leave it a certain length of time before you have the cats done. Anyway, she took one of the cats in to be done just before lockdown. But the vet said to her, you know, don't have them done together. It'd be too much looking after them. Separate it by about 2 weeks. So they're all booked in and stuff. You know what's coming, don't you? Yeah, she doesn't have 2 cats anymore. No, she's got 5 cats. Because the first one was done and she was fine. Second one, not so much so. And they were looking at it about a week ago and thinking, that cat's looking bigger than it was. Anyway, she opens the bedroom, the wardrobe doors yesterday morning, and it was her son's birthday. So she opens these wardrobe doors to find the cat curled up in the corner of the wardrobe, replete with 3 kittens. They are so cute. The lad himself was thrilled. She took them in and she said to them, you can't touch, you can't touch. Then she opened it and she said, but guess what? It's not just your birthday today. And she opened the wardrobe doors and there's these 3 kittens. With the mum lay on her side with her paws wrapped around all 3 kittens. It was absolutely adorable. So now she's got 5 cats. I said to Carolyn, is she keeping them? And she said, They don't think so, but at the moment, you know, you can't go visiting. Apparently, you can go visiting to buy a house, but not a kitten. So she's got three kittens, two cats, a dog, and the dog's only young. The dog's a puppy. And I think there was fish involved as well, but absolutely adorable. Can you imagine if you didn't know when you open the wardrobe and you just find three kittens? She had a bit of an inkling, but only a bit of an inkling, and only about a week ago. Other than that, there were no symptoms. Luckily, I think the dog's a boy, so that's not likely to happen. We're paranoid with Lola. She has not been done. She only had kittens about a year ago, so we are absolutely paranoid when she's out. We should probably sort that out, but you know me and medical things. If it's not broken, don't try and fix it. Which was how we were with Maya. He was completely... We used to say he still had his batteries. So people who were walking girl dogs who hadn't been done were saying, like, keep him away, keep him away. And I'm saying to Mum, well, you know, if your dog's off a lead, why do you want my dog on a lead when your dog should be on a lead? That's just me. I think unless you're running in a dog park or something, I think it's just good practice to have your dog on a lead. You never know what a child would do to... I mean, I've seen it all. I had a cousin who used to poke our budgie with a little paintbrush, a child's paintbrush. Thing was, our budgie, all our pets have all had attitude. And this is the logic of my cousin. You'll love this one. He's poking our budgie with a stick. We were on holiday, and it was the only time this budgie went and stayed with my grandmother. And it's the only time this bird was out of our sight. So he's poking it with his paintbrush. And the bird does no more than turns around and takes the end off this paintbrush. So when he pulled it back, there were no bristles in it. He went in and complained to my grandmother that the bird had had the end off his brush. And she, quick as a flash, said, "And how did it get in the cage?" And he's like, She said, "Well, don't do that again." A bird with attitude. All our pets have had attitude. That's the problem with it. But they do. Animals are amazing. They are. They're really amazing. Yes. But I would... Would I like another one? Well, I didn't ask for this one, did I? So you never know what might happen. We were threatened at one point, and I think the lady in question thought it was a threat, and we just thought, like, that would be cool. Maybe you'll have Ollie. But Ollie's quite happy at home at the moment. But that was talked about for a while. And then Lola moved in, so we're just incredibly blessed. So what have we all been up to today? I've had a hectically busy day. If you've been in Slack, I've sorted out some content for tomorrow, which is infographics and how easy they are to create. Not in any particular application as well, in lots of applications. So we had a tiny look, didn't we, at just doing, a progress thing. But now we're talking about infographics per se. And it was in relation to the fact that there's lots of online services for them, but they're quite expensive. I hadn't looked into the online services until it was mentioned, and I went off to have a look. They are joking, aren't they? Price-wise, tell me they're joking. Let me go and have a look. Where's the conversation? No, I'm in the wrong one. Must be tech chat. There it is. Was it that one? It was that one. Yeah, so I don't. Which ones were you looking at, Simon? Which ones had you said, you know, they're beautiful, but they're heckishly expensive? Every one of them I looked at was expensive. Jonathan says, that sounds good. I've got all of them, but I don't have Illustrator. Illustrator's very, very good with charts. It is. It's about the one thing that I would say it's better than Affinity Designer, but it's not worth the expense just for that. There are so many applications that are free. So there are some that I wouldn't say they are an online service per se. But one of them I was using earlier. Now, where did I have that? Because I've also had to reboot my machine today, which never happens. But it was a good job that I did, because I don't know if this has happened to anybody else. But one of the issues I had, I stopped getting notifications. So my calendars were there, the notification, you know, DND wasn't on, and I just wasn't getting any notifications. So I installed some system patchy thing, which meant I then had to reboot, which then said it was going to take like an hour and 20. Eventually I got back in and now I've had some notifications. But I was in one, which is totally free. And it did come up. What's this? Did it? No, I don't need you. It did come up as infographics, but when I actually went into it, I wouldn't particularly say they were not what I would consider to be infographics. They were more, I guess you could make infographics if you wanted to, but they were more design things that you would put on Instagram. So like you would start with a graphic and then you would put like some stuff over the top of it and turn it into a piece of art or whatever. Right, let's download what I did. We'll do that one and then I'll share it. Hello, Mrs. Simon. He's sorry, he's just listening, not typing. He's busy transferring his Hackintosh to a new case. We've all admired his new case, Mrs. Simon. Really liking that. Right, let's have a look here. Had a grandniece who was poking at one of the Bichons when he was a pup. Told her he was not used to children, to be very gentle with him. One poked too many and bit her on the nose. That's my concern. That, you know, there's no way Maya or Lola would ever do that. But I've not seen the dog provoked. And anybody would do that. A human would do that. If somebody keeps poking you or picking at you, eventually you're going to lash out. And I wouldn't want the dog to be blamed for something like that. But I mean, this cousin was a jumped up little to start with. I mean, he flooded my gran's bathroom. He was the only one in there and swore blind it wasn't him. That's the kind of thing he would do. But this bird, considering it didn't come out of the cage, it didn't really want to. But it would just bite anything. The thing was, I wanted a dog. Mum decided not a dog. So she said, you can have a rabbit. This is how it all happened. You can have a rabbit. So I thought, I like rabbits. I'll have a rabbit. So I got this rabbit. Life did not end well for this rabbit. It still bothers me today, this. But it disappeared out of its cage. Now, its cage was in a wooden Wendy house with a locked door at night. It was outside in this Wendy house. Somebody had broken in, taken the rabbit, which was bad enough. You know, where's my rabbit? My rabbit's gone. You know, and I was very fond of my rabbit. But we found the rabbit in somebody's front garden, and somebody, whoever had taken it, had cut its head off. So I found the lower half of my rabbit. I was about 8. I was a bit traumatised. So Mum decided after that any pet had to be in the house. So she said, you can have a budgie. I still wanted a dog. But we went to get this budgie. It was the last one in the pet store. And my dad had gone for his paper and his cigarettes. Everywhere we went, he had to go for his cigarettes. Hello, Anthony. And we stood there. And this budgie, we couldn't see its face. Its head was in a hole at the back of the cage. The cages were separated with wood. And it was gnawing away. So Dad comes in. Was it a real rabbit? No, it's a real rabbit. It was a real rabbit. He was called Snowy. He was an albino with red eyes. I absolutely adored him. And yeah, that's what happened. There was a petting zoo locally. And the same happened there about 6 weeks later. A lot of their animals were found in exactly the same state. But Mum at that point was like, no, you're not having anything that needs to live outside. So that was why we were looking for a budgie. And she said that they talk and everything. It's like something out of a horror film. It was. The thing was, the couple who lived opposite had a child a bit younger than me, probably about 3 or 4 years younger than me. And they'd been driving in and out. And obviously you don't particularly look on your front lawn, do you? But it was bang in the middle of their front garden. And I think their young child thought it was a toy. And she said, you know, come and look in my garden. And I think I was about 8. And I remember going across the road and I could tell way before I even got there, you know, that it was white fur. And I thought, it's not alive. But obviously, we had to get a little bit closer, at which point I realised it didn't have a head anymore. So I then had to go and tell Mum. And obviously, she was mortified. I mean, now I think it must have been worse for her, because she must have been wondering what on earth I was thinking and what I was going through. Hence the budgie. Oh, it'll be fun, she said. They're fun, they talk, she said. But this one didn't take its head out the back of the cage. So Dad returned, he must have been 20 minutes, and he said, well, are we taking it or what? And Mum said, it hasn't taken its head out the back of that cage yet. Anyway, in the end it did, and it was the only one they had left. So we headed off with Joey the budgie. This bird was possessed, I swear it was. He ate everything in sight, considering he was in a cage. He ate the curtains. So at night, we pulled the curtains over and it was near his cage. He pulled the curtains through and ate a hole in the curtain. Mum went mad. He pulled one of Mum's notebooks through and ate the corner of that. And no one, you know, like you see people put their finger out and a budgie land on it. It would just gnaw on everything constantly. The only person who could get anywhere near was my dad. And he would put his hand out and the bird would get on it. And he'd dip forward and he'd have his beak on my father's finger. And he would just chew on it till he drew blood. He was a menace. He was an absolute menace. He was possessed. But, you know, we love that bird. We had him till I was at university. So we got him when I was 8. And I must have been about 19 or 20 when he died. So he lived a long, long life. He really did. But I still wanted a dog. Should have just let me have a dog in the first place. I guess it wasn't meant to be. It was meant to be when it was meant to be, and Maya was my boy. And then I can't tell you the number of times people have said to us, when are you getting another dog? When are you getting another dog? And we genuinely said, you know, if it's meant to be, a dog will find us. And people looked at us like, you can't live your life like that. You've got to be go-getting, and you know. And I'm like, no, because where am I going to get a dog from? Right, I go, well, because it would have to have been a Samoyed by this point. So I go to a breeder and I buy a dog. I'm not 100% sure I'm ready for a dog yet. Any dog, you know, be it Samoyed or not. And how would you actually know until you've got the dog? You could go to Samoyed Rescue, but there's a lot of hoops to jump through with Samoyed Rescue in terms of coming round and checking houses and stuff. And there's no way they're going to walk in here. They're going to find a studio and an office with more cables than you can shake a stick at. There's no way they're going to say that that is safe for a dog. It is. She never touches the cables, but they don't know that. So we did genuinely believe that if it was meant to be, it would happen. And then, of course, we met Nina and Mike, and their son and daughter-in-law were going on holiday, and they'd forgotten, I think each one thought the other one had done it, they'd forgotten to book kennels for the dog, and they couldn't get him in. So then it was a major panic, because Mike, Nina's Mike, can't be doing with dogs. He won't have a dog in the house, seriously. Will not have a dog in the house. So they couldn't look after him. Rachel couldn't look after him because she was at work all day. So when Nina said, oh, they're in a right mess now, and I said, what's the matter? You know, because it was always one thing after another. And she said, between them, they've forgotten to book kennels for the dog. She said, and you know what my Mike's like. That's not happening. So I said, what, for a week? She said, yeah. I said, we'll take him. Not a problem. And she was like, really? You serious? I said, yeah, of course. Yeah, a week, not a problem. Not a problem at all. And then she was saying he was having such a good time with us, because obviously they've got three kids as well. So he has to share time with his sisters. But here, centre of attention. So he thrived. He loved it. And I was training him with the clicker training thing. So we had an absolute ball. And she said, you'd be better off if he stayed with you. And I said, he'd miss his sisters. You know, from being a puppy, he's had three kids there. It's a bit quiet here. We don't have three kids. But we had him 3-4 times. And every time he came, it was like, oh, he'd be better off with you. He'd be better off with you. But it was Ollie that actually we were in the park with when we met Lola. So in a way, Ollie did lead us to the right dog. And as you know, she had puppies a while ago. And when she came in and said, we think she's pregnant, and she went off, I said, Mike, puppies, is this it? You know, is this it? Is this Maya saying, here's a puppy? And we were in the middle of Mike's presidential year. And I said, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. And I wouldn't go into it if it was, you know, I don't know. But then they were born and it was like, oh my God, they were so adorable. Oh, they were the youngest Sammies we've ever seen. They were less than 2 weeks old. We didn't like mithering to go round, but in the end it was like, can we come and see the puppies, please? And she said, anytime. So we wandered round and there they were adorable. But, you know, we were still a little bit like, is it not? And I said to Mike, look, if they've got one left, then it's meant to be. And as I told you yesterday, Purple was the last one to go. And the lady, Lola's mum, was like in two minds whether they would come back. She said, I just don't know. You know, I got the feeling like maybe with this one, maybe they will, maybe they won't. And I just looked at Mike and said, if they don't, then it's meant to be. But they did. And then, of course, we'd obviously got to know Lola. And it was just meant to be. And I really believe that. I really, really believe that. So, Barney, you weren't ready for another dog after Charlie. Do you know, we've got dogs on the street here. There's a house at the end and they had a dog called Barney and now they've got one called Charlie. So yours is the other way around. But the cleaner at work said the dog needed rehoming and we arranged to meet, pretty much made himself at home. That is just so sweet. That's when it's right, isn't it? I mean, Lola would get so excited and every time we went round to take her out for a walk, she'd be giddy all over the place. The first time we went round after the pups, we hadn't seen her for about 3 weeks. And obviously these pups are in the whelping pen. So we knocked on the door and the next minute there was this almighty cacophony and she came barreling up the hallway and she was just all over us. Absolutely all over. She just left the babies. Yeah, whatever. She totally left them. And she was like that every time we went round. So she was absolutely adorable. She's a good mum, though. But she would get like... They were very giddy. And puppies have very sharp claws and even sharper teeth. And they do just like to gnaw on things. I think in the end, she'd kind of had enough. It would have been 24/7. Nearly 8 weeks by that stage. So I think she'd actually had enough. A lot of dogs, when they need rehoming, aren't at all friendly, are they? They're like very timid. Lola wasn't timid. But the one thing we've noticed with her, when she used to be walked on a collar and a lead. But the thing is, she can get the collar off because she's so furry. You don't like tightening it that tight because of all this fur. But then she kind of wriggles. And she manages to get it off. So they bought a suit. And Maya had always had a suit and three leads. Long story. So this suit went on quite strange. There's two different types of suit. There's a suit that's like a dog lead that made of webbing. The suit is the same. And to get it on, if there's two people, one will hold it. The other will lift the dog's front paws and pop them through the holes. That's it. You're done. Just fasten it at the back. But this other kind of suit was more fabric-y. And people tended to go for this type of suit because it spread out the area that there was a tension on when they're pulling on the lead all across the front of the chest. But the problem with them is to get them on, you have to get one leg in. And then you have to wrap the other thing round the other leg manually. So basically, it's got to go on over their head. And every time we came to put this suit on, Lola would like shy away and pull her head away. But we kind of got a thing going between us where we actually, it was quick and painless. I'd like pat her head and I'd have it on my arm and I would slide it off my arm over her head and she barely noticed. But this went on for about good 5-6 months with this suit. And then her first mum came round and she said, have you noticed she doesn't like having that suit put on? And I said, I have. She said, I don't think she likes stuff near her head. So I don't know if something had happened, like this suit had caught an ear or something. And because at one point she actually brought the dog round when they very first had it and this suit was on backwards. And I looked at it and I said, okay, no problem, bring her in. And after when they'd gone, I said to Mike, don't take her for a walk, that suit's on backwards. And we looked and like, how do you put that suit on backwards? But she got it on backwards. So I think what could have happened was caught an ear or something. But she was that bad with it. You still, if you reach your hand out, reach it out palm first under her chin, and then she'll let you pat her on the head. But if anybody reaches out to pat her on the head, she ducks her head and moves back. So I think something with this suit had definitely gone on at some point. But then putting it on backwards won't help, will it? But we ditched that suit. It's her spare now. We went for this webbed suit. And she's gleeful with it. You get the suit out now and she runs straight over and she's virtually trying to get her paws through it. But yes, she has the collar. She has the lead. She has, in fact, I think she's got two leads. Belt and braces again. She's a minx if she's just on a collar. That's the thing. But yeah, she was incredibly friendly too. But we got to know her over a period of about 18 months. But we did wonder if it was meant to be a puppy, but clearly it wasn't. Which, when Purple came to stay for the day, it was a lot of work. Purple wasn't house trained in the slightest. Now, when Mayer arrived, and he was the same age, he was 7 weeks, he was house trained. He only ever had one accident, and it wasn't an accident. He wanted to go out, and I said no. And he looked at me, and he gave me this look of like, you'll let me out in a minute, and just leant forward and weed on the carpet. And he was like, okay, we're not doing that. Never again. But Purple didn't seem to grasp that quite quickly enough for my liking. Literally, did not seem to grasp it at all. So, to be honest, if I had to go through the kind of housebreaking thing again, or take Lola, there was no competition. It was like Lola was meant to be. But she was. She was meant to be. So Kiva hates to be petted on the head unless you're petting her somewhere else first. Maybe it's a dog thing. Maya didn't mind at all. But he was very self-possessed. He was very boisterous. He was very confident. And obviously she's had two homes and all sorts and puppies and all kinds of things. It could be a girl thing. I talked to a guy on a motorway service station who had a Labrador. And I said, you know, can I pet your dog? And he said, yeah, sure. So you're like, is it a boy or a girl? What's her name? How old is she? And he had had boy dogs for years. And somehow he'd ended up with this girl. And he said, it's the first girl that I've had. He said, she's very different. She's very standoffish. She's very much a princess. Where the boy dogs are just in your face, all over you. And that she was quite reticent. And they were the same breed. So, and we have noticed differences between Maya and Lola. Part of that, of course, would be Maya was in a household where there was never a minute's peace. And Lola was used to being on her own quite a bit. So we still give her that space she needs. She can go wherever she likes. Wherever she is comfortable, she can go. But she's fine as long as you like stroke her somewhere else. Isn't that strange? There's obviously some sense there, Kim, in their mind that we don't know about. It's good to let them sniff your hand first slowly and speak gently. Yeah, I always, I mean, with Lola, obviously she knows us, but with other dogs, I would never reach out ever and try patting a dog on the head. I always just hold a palm out and let them sniff and lick and whatever. And then, you know, if you move it forward, and the other thing I do is always ask the owner. Which is what I'm saying about having a dog off a lead. You don't know what, I mean, I actually said to a friend today, she sent me this video clip of her two kids, and they were so impeccably behaved. And I went back and I said, you know, maybe it's just me, but I only ever seem to be exposed to riotous brats. And it's really different when you see a child behaving itself. It's as though children are just let run riot these days. And you never know. I'm not saying a child would attempt to hurt a dog, but even just reaching it out a hand and putting it over the dog's head, you don't know how the dog will react to that particular person. So unless it was a dog park, we don't let her off the lead particularly. And when she does, she's a little minx for finding the muddiest path and diving headfirst into it. Hence the zoomies round the garden. She's taken to doing it around the garden. And actually, although the garden's quite small, if you went round the perimeter of it, which she does, she probably only gets around it about 3-4 times before she's out of breath. but what we're doing at the minute is, depending on the weather, we've got this bench and you can block off the back garden from the side garden with the bench. So she's only doing half zoomies at the moment and loving it. She's loving it. It's better for her to go out when it's cooler because of the pavement. There was a story that was in, it was actually from Altrincham, which is the town next to us. And some idiot had taken a dog out in the heat. This dog had come back it only been for like a walk. It wasn't a run or anything, just a walk. But its paws were burnt. There were blood blisters. Its paws were bleeding. It had been that hot. And it just dropped dead. It must have got heat stroke of some description. And, you know, they were taking it in because of the paws. And the vet was saying it was criminal. There was no reason for this dog to die, but it just dropped dead. So it either was, well, it was dehydrated. They obviously hadn't. When we take Mayor out and Lola out, we always have water, which we discussed with that pouring bottle. And they obviously hadn't taken any water out either. But the vet thinks it was some kind of, that the heart just gave out. I mean, that's just literally heartbreaking. That, you know, there's nothing wrong with the dog, and you are stupid enough to take it out in that kind of weather. I mean, I make a judgment as to on the weather, whether one, Lola should be out in it, or two, Mike should be out in it, because he doesn't take to the sun well. He goes completely tomato red. But the other thing is, it kind of affects his breathing in a way. He gets really over hot. So I'll say, like, just leave it. Take her out at 9 at night. You know, do it later. I'll do the afternoon, because it affects him so badly. Let's have a look. Piddle Pooch. Let's have a look. Let me go back up a bit. All right. You're once in a beer garden in Haworth with Barney, and a woman with a toddler walked by and encouraged the child to say hello. Didn't bother asking us, and ourselves didn't know how he would be. Exactly. Most parents are actually better than the children, and they'll say, you know, is it friendly? And you'll say yes, but, you know, I tend to get down to the level of the child, and I will hold my hand out and say, you know, do that, and basically lead the child through it. I know what I was like as a child. I got bitten as a child, and I was very young. I don't even remember it, but my mum assures me that I was, and that I wasn't overly keen on dogs after that. It literally just came up to me. I wasn't even trying to pet it, and it bit me. Not badly, but it put me off dogs for a bit. But then my gran, she didn't have a dog. Well, she did, but not at the time that I was a kid. But the next door neighbour did, and this was a massive dog. It was a German Shepherd Alsatian Cross, and it was huge, like the size of a donkey. It was bigger than a Great Dane. Twice as long as a Great Dane. And, you know, I was like, oh, you know, that dog, it's a dog and it's huge. And Gran said, no, it's okay, he's friendly. And he sat me down, sat the dog down, got playing with him. That was it. Then I wanted a dog. And I think my mother was like, yeah, I quite liked him when she was more afraid of them and didn't want one. But then I wanted one, and that was it. So Kiva likes to lick ears. And you always warn the kids about the ear licking. Oh, good grief. Oh, that is lovely. Oh no, damaged knee ligaments. Ah, that was what I mentioned yesterday, Tracy, when I took Maya to the vet, and the vet said it didn't affect his movement at all. I was convinced he needed a new leg, and then I got to the vet. Cure, instant cure. Hopefully it's just a contusion, but if not surgery, oh no. That does my head in. Mayor only ever had to go in once, and all it was a liver function test, but it had to be done under an anaesthetic, and they had to take some fur off. But they did a really great job in only taking off the tiniest bit of fur. So he was bald to the skin, but literally you couldn't see it. They'd like looked at him stood up and thought, where could they do it that worked for them and wouldn't take too much fur off? And it grew back. It probably took about 6 to 8 weeks to grow back. But that was the only time. And Mike and I were a basket case. Not joking. Jonathan might remember that. He might not think he does, but he might. It was 2012. So Jonathan would have been 22, Jonathan. But we had a session that night. And we were taking him in at 8 o'clock in the morning. So there was no danger we wouldn't be ready by the evening. It was only going to take 3 hours, they said. So we haired off up there. And I remember having iPad 1. No, it would have been iPad 2. In the car on mobile data. And we took him in. It was like we had to leave him. It was the only time he had been without one of the family ever. And I said, I'm sitting outside. And we did. We sat outside. Thing was, we were ringing up saying, like, is he ready? Is he ready? No, he wasn't ready. They wouldn't let him go until he'd eaten. Well, Maya was used to my mother's home-baked cooking. And he wasn't eating whatever dog food they were offering him. We were still there at 9:30 that night. He'd been in there 13 hours. And we had been sat outside in the car for 13 hours. I remember ringing up the last time and the guy was like, basically, whoever had answered the phone, and it wasn't our vet, had got quite cranky with me and didn't answer the question. And, well, the line went dead. I wouldn't like to say whether he hung up or the line went dead. And I said to Mike, right, I'm done, I'm going in. I went in and the guy still got the phone in his hand. And I said, right, I'm here. And he was like, whoa, that was fast. I thought, yeah, what you don't know is we've been sat outside all day. We wouldn't leave him. So to actually have to send a dog in for surgery, I would need Valium. Just sedate me as well. I'd need it more than the dog. I do hope she's better soon. Rottweiler take a plug out of my oldest daughter's leg. Oh, good grief. I had to put the dog down. This is the thing to me, though. You just don't know. It could be partly the child or partly the dog or just the two. You don't know. So it's no trouble for us to keep her on a lead. I mean, when we can get there, we intend taking her up to Dunham. And we took her up to Dunham about 14 months ago, way before she was ours. It was her first trip to Dunham. And Dunham Massey Park has deer in it and they're running free. You cannot let the dog off the lead. No. And people are like, oh, I can't let my dog off the lead because there's deer. Some of them are pregnant. You know, do you want the thing gouged by a deer? Have you seen the antlers on the deer? Just keep the dog on a lead. But she was great with him. She was like, oh, it's like a big dog, but it's got antlers. And she just wanted to go and play with them. She did. But not, you don't know how any particular dog would react. It is, that's horrific. That is absolutely horrific. And if there's any chance of that, when I won't do it. I mean, Rachel's not big with dogs at all. She won't tolerate Ollie because he's just too boisterous. And she's tiny. Rachel is only about 4'11". She's tiny, tiny. And, you know, even Ollie is too much. He could knock her over. So obviously a big dog like a Sammy. How we told them we were adopting her was we went out and we had breakfast and I got this card out. And she opened this card. She was like, it's not my birthday. And I told everybody else to watch because this was how we were going to do it. And she opened the card and the card said on it, congratulations, you're going to be a big sister. And she went, you're not. I said, yes, four legs fur. So she went out the next day and she got some treats and toys and stuff. I think Lola had been here a week by then. But as far as they knew, we were only looking after her. So she came round with all these treats and a card. She sat down on the sofa and Lola laid out in front of her on her legs. She wouldn't let her go. She would not let her go. And Rachel's like, oh, she's so sweet. She's so sweet. So Lola's the only dog that Rachel will tolerate. But, you know, she was the one, a guide dog. Rachel's out. She's not big on dogs. But there's a guide dog there and he's at the end of his training. And they are trained for a year to 18 months. So it was with its puppy walker, but it wasn't at the start of its journey. It was towards the end of graduating as a guide dog. So she thought, well, it's a guide dog, will be all right. So she said to the guy, and she asked some questions, etc. And she's just stood there. This dog went for her and it bit her. And she's a nurse, obviously. She ended up in A&E where she needed to update a tetanus and get some treatment on this bite. To say the dog was then not going to be a guide dog was an understatement. But why did it go for her? It was a guide dog. And it was literally within days of graduating. She didn't even try and reach out and touch it. It just went for her. If a guide dog can do that, any dog can do that. You don't know if somebody's in a house with a high-pitched whistle that's annoying the dog. You've no idea. So we don't let her off the lead unless it's an enclosed space, which was why we were looking for Airbnbs, particularly up Scotland way, because we like it up there, that had got an enclosed garden so she could run around in it. But then obviously we went into lockdown and she's running around our garden. And she's learnt zoomies, so what can I say? She's built herself a little assault course. And she's convinced if she's behind my car and she can't see me, that I can't see her, despite the big waggy tail that's right in your face. If she can't see you, you can't see her. What's she like? A cat that sucked earlobes. Oh, my. We had some strange pets between us. Bonnie had an operation with knee ligaments 2 years ago. That seems a common thing, doesn't it? I always wondered with Mayo whether he'd need an operation on that leg when he was limping 7-7, and it just cleared up. But then later on, it could have been a wet summer maybe, because later on he was arthritic. So potentially it could have been that. Is that when the vet asked you why you didn't bring them in for the consultation and you said you want to say it's about the dog to object and answer? yeah, pretty much. That was the one. No, I think it was after that one. He always did say, well, and have you brought the dog with you? You know, and Maya was so friendly. He would have been all over him and he would have been barking. So I felt it was better. You know, are you going to ask the dog questions? No, you're going to ask me. So why don't we talk first and then we'll bring the dog in? The other one was the one that I disliked the most, Jonathan. Trust me, there was a whole collection of them. But the one I disliked the most, I took him in because he was sneezing constantly. And I would have left it. I would have just thought it's sunny, it's hay fever, something like that. I would have given it at least another week. But my father, who knew the family with three other Samoyeds, wound me up to the point I thought I'd better get him to the vet. And he'd said that one of their dogs had been sniffing in the huge garden that they had. And some kind of pollen had got up their nose and started to grow a seed in their nose. And that was why I took him in. But the thing was, once I'd got him in, all this vet wanted to talk about was his eye. And I'm like, that's not his nose. And then he's on about, well, you sort of bring the dog in, because I don't want to talk to you, I want to see the dog. And I remember looking at him and saying, with the greatest respect, I'm paying the bill, so talk to me. Do you know, I think I could be blacklisted at every vet's in a 50-mile radius on reflection. Apart from the last one we went to, which was fine. Oh dear. Let's have a look. Piddle Pooch is so obsessed when it comes to chasing a ball, she must pull fork. That's the thing. Oh, dedication. Poor dog. I hope it heals by itself, though, I really do. It's so worrying for you. And then, of course, they've got the cone on. And then they don't know, and then they're feeling sorry for themselves with that. It's a big trauma, isn't it, for everybody? So, fingers crossed. Get the fact they need to examine them at times, but after that, if it makes it difficult, why have them in there? Totally agree with you, Jonathan. There is no need to be fighting with the dog as well. The one that you're talking about, where I gave him a talking to, what happened with that, which was hysterical as far as I was concerned. I thought, I'll go in, I'll explain what's wrong, then we'll bring the dog in. And he's like, where's the dog, where's the dog, where's the dog? When the dog did actually come in, he was one of the very few vets who still wore a white coat. Most of the vets we'd been to, particularly the last vets, the great vets, they're wearing scrubs because they are a specialist. Although they do standard veterinary practice, they also are the local veterinary hospital. So they're operating a good 50% of the day. So in the afternoon, they don't have any appointment times. All the vets are operating. That's when they operate. So they had scrubs on. But this guy very much took his sense of self, shall we say, from his white coat. So we brought Mayer in. This was the time he had the bad leg, you know, Mr. Hopalong. But he'd seen him running outside. So we brings him in and he takes one look up at him, Mayer, and he jumps on him and he puts his paws almost to his shoulders because Mayer was that tall when he stood up. But he moved his right paw to the top where he had the top button fastened. And they weren't buttons where you would actually put them through a buttonhole. They were like poppers. He put his right paw at the top and then just slid down the front and he burst every one of these poppers. I thought we were going to get slung out right there and right then. He looked disgusted, the vet. And I thought, well, you know, you were saying naughty things Like, bring him in and it's not affecting his movement. There's nothing wrong with him. And he's just proving you're wrong. Yeah. This, and again, that was the last time we went there. They were the ones that were always overcharging. Right, so sometimes dogs snort up barley, wild barley, oats and similar. And the barbs get stuck inside their nose. They have to be put to sleep to remove them. Mm. That's why I took him. That was the only reason I took him. And again, I got told I was overprotective, which I think is ridiculous, because to get me to a vet, I must be concerned. And the minute they say that to me, I'm just at the point where I'm thinking, you're not the vet. You're not the vet for me. Because they are your children. They are part of your family. Just because they've got four legs and fur, you wouldn't be there unless you had a genuine concern. Not given the fact that if a dog has to stay overnight at this veterinary hospital, it's something like £385 a night. Mike and I just said, you know, should we just book in at the Ritz and book all three of us in? £385 a night, and that's without treatment. I am not taking a dog there unless I am really concerned. And if they don't acknowledge that, what kind of vet are they? That's why the last one we had, he was a youngish guy. And I walked in and I thought, oh, good grief, he looks about 12. His name was Tom. And I didn't have the dog with me. And he said, have you brought the dog with you? I said, I have. And by this stage, you know, I knew there was something wrong with him, because we'd already had him there overnight as an emergency to give him something for the pain that he seemed to be in. I said, I have. He's outside. You know, with the greatest respect, you're going to need to ask questions and he isn't going to be able to answer them, is he? And he went, nope, that's fine. And we talked for ages, and then he said, right, I'll have a look at him now and then I'll let you know. And we brought him in. And you know, he accepted that was logical. It's the same with a child. What's the point in having a sort of, what, 6-year-old child sat there who understands what's going on and maybe can sort of say, yes, it hurts here, it hurts there. But you're going to want to talk to the parents. And what you're talking about, it could be this, it could be that. The child might be petrified. Just leave the child somewhere else. And that's what I'm like with the dog. More particular, well, one, I believe dogs can understand what you're saying and they can certainly pick up on a vibe if you're worried sick. We'd already kind of, he'd already said, well, from what you're telling me, and I had video as well. I'd done some video of how he was walking. So I said, well, I've got video. That's fantastic. He said, let me have a look at the video. He'd worked out what it was before the dog came through the door, which meant that we were all like, and he said, like, I know it sounds serious and there is no cure for it. He will have it until he dies, but don't worry, he's not going to die today. He's not going to die for a good few years. By the stage the dog came in, I've got this big smile plastered on my face, which I wouldn't have had if Mayor had been in there from the start. But there aren't many vets like that, unfortunately. I'd love your vet. Caring and not expensive. Charges by course of treatment and visits. That's all I ever wanted, a vet that cared. And I always felt with the vets that I managed to find that they didn't really. And she's personally supervised hospitalisation, and that's inexpensive too. That's fantastic. And this is a good vet that I go to, but it's not cheap. But to be honest, it is the veterinary hospital for the area. That's how come we ended up there. So we figured we might as well move. One, because I was sick of every other vet. But also, that's where they'd send him anyway. And then you're dealing with your vet, and your vet's referring you to this vet. So if you're in the UK and you've ever heard of, what's his name? Fitzpatrick, Noel Fitzpatrick, the super vet. They are more like he is. His practice is the operating theatre, and they are referred to him. It's called, his business is called Fitzpatrick Referrals. So he isn't a first-line vet. He is the vet that he's the super vet that other vets refer cases to. And that's pretty much what this place is like. And that's why I said to them, you know, can we actually register here? And she said, yes, of course you can. And I thought, right, get the paperwork, get the paperwork. But it makes such a difference, doesn't it, Tracy? You're relaxed and the dog feels better. You take Kiva to the vets just to get away in so she'll get used to going. I don't know what Lola would be like. We've not had to take her to the vet yet. I've got a feeling she'd be okay. Mayor, no. He liked it about as much as I did. But we'll have to see how it goes. So when he had Barney chipped, the vet asked us to wait outside so he didn't associate the pain of being chipped with us. That's a good point as well. Mayor was chipped when he was less than 8 weeks old. And I was concerned about the pain, but he barely turned a hair. Our main concern with Mayer was he knew no fear and didn't seem to feel pain, full stop. So, you know, if he came careering down the stairs, you'd be like, oh my God, he's going to break every bone in his body. He's fine. He's absolutely fine. You were hyperventilating. The dog, absolutely fine. So I think I was at the front end with that. No, the only time he was ever away from us was when he was having the liver test. And the liver thing, to me, the liver is the only part of the human body that can regenerate. So he's on about, and it was all to do with, they were going to have to give him medication. Now, what the heck was that called? That will come to me. But it was a medication that they gave them for arthritis. But it affected the function of the liver. So they needed to check the liver function to start with to make sure that it didn't adversely affect it to the point that then the liver gave up. But as we're leaving, I'm like, and we'll have to do that again in 6 months. And I'm like, And as soon as we got out the door, I said to Mike, phone. And I got on the phone and I ordered veterinary grade milk thistle, which helps liver function. So when he went back for his liver function test 6 months later, it hadn't moved. And he's like, you are giving the medication, aren't you? I said, yep. He said, oh, his liver function's amazing considering. I thought, it will be. But if I tell you I'm a witch doctor giving him a herbal and homeopathic stuff, you'll show me the door. So let's just pretend I know nothing and you know nothing. But the liver function is fine. And he was like that until the day he died. We never had to put him on the painkillers permanently. And the liver function test was always fine. Every time it came back, we were very, very lucky. You sometimes send WhatsApp photos and videos as a pre-diagnosis. That is just so cool. That's exactly what you should do. I think back then, I don't think they would have had the capability to accept the video. I don't think WhatsApp was a thing. But he was so glad when Maya was at his worst, I had taken video. And I also took some video. He gave him some diazepam or something similar to diazepam. It was horrific. He couldn't stand up. And when he did, he was walking into walls. He was totally out of it. So much so, I said, I'm not giving him that again. No way. I remember he went out into the garden to do his business, couldn't stand up and actually fell in it. So Mike was at work and I shouts through to Mum, can you run me like 5 bowls of warm water and get me 15 towels? And she said, has there been an accident? I said, yes. And she said, is it you or the dog? And I said, both of us. That was a good one. That was a good story for Mike when he came home. He didn't have to witness that one, but he couldn't stand up. So I took this video and then I went back and I didn't even take the dog. I left Mayer at home and I went back in with a video and these pills, because what he'd said was they were heckishly expensive. They're like £80. He said, if they don't suit, bring them back and get a refund if they don't work. So I went back in and I said, well, he's not concerned about the pain. I said, but this is what he's like. And he watched this video and he went, don't give him any more. I said, no. You know, even if we had to give him something else or nothing. And because at this stage, I was also, there was chondroitin. Oh, there was a whole range of stuff, herbal, which was doing him the world of good. But he said, no, get your money back. That's not what they're supposed to be like. As like literally, he headbutted a door. It was horrible to watch. I wonder what happens to humans when they take medication like that. Because he was totally zoned out. He was kind of like, he would walk into a wall, but then when he turned away, realising it was a wall, like one leg would go one way and one leg would go the other. It was awful to watch. Absolutely awful. But yeah, it would be a great idea to send in photos and videos, wouldn't it? I bet they do that now. So yours is a veterinary hospital, Anthony. Tuesday, they do their own out of hours. That's exactly what we did. The old vets were excellent, but outsourced theirs. You had to take it 13. That's exactly our situation. I think the place we ended up at, the veterinary hospital, is probably about 10 or 11 miles up the road. The other veterinary surgeries had all been really quite local, within 4 or 5 miles. But if that's where you've got to take him out of ours, which was how we ended up with them in the first place, then that's when we figured we might as well just go there. And they were fantastic because the last time, second to last time, I think, I went in and Tom wasn't available because he was really on the surgery side. So I went in and it was this girl. And I had such a, I was not in the best frame of mind that I wasn't talking to Tom. So I had a cob on. I don't know if that's a UK phrase. It means I had a face like thunder. So I walked in and I was short with this girl, the lot. And she took it. She didn't say anything, you know, like your attitude stinks. But trust me, my attitude stank. But she started explaining and she was up to speed with the case and that. And after she finished, I said, okay, I said, sorry about the attitude. I said, but I'm sick of going to one vet and then ending up with another vet and another vet. I said, they don't know what's going on. Shit, I do know what's going on. And she was very, very good. So that was the point that we decided this was where we could actually be. We were very, very lucky. Right. Oh, end of another show. Wow. How do we do it? We love our dogs, don't we? We just love our dogs and our tech. So two show Friday tomorrow. Yes, I've got post-it notes on my desk. I have things for tomorrow and I even have things for down the line. I've even got notes on stuff I'm not 100% sure that we're covering, but it's on my desk. So that's my task for today and tomorrow, getting ready for Two Show Friday, but particularly after hours. Not too late. If you want to put in a last minute request for something, let me know. What will the score be? Well, Jonathan, if you're going on that walk, it will either energise you or exhaust you. In fact, just before we go, I've just downloaded something. You know, I said about these infographics and that one of them didn't, to me, it wasn't an infographic. It was a kind of service that did graphics of some description. This was one of the templates. I only made a slight change. I don't know if you'll be able to tell the slight change that I made, but I will post the link in and you can tell me if you can notice the slight change that I made. So there we go. This is especially for Jonathan for tomorrow. Hopefully earlier rather than later, Jonathan. All of that was there. I only put the little for Jonathan at the bottom. That to me is not an infographic, but I was assured by the application and come in and click our infographics. And I looked and I thought, yeah, not an infographic. But then when I saw what it said, I thought, got to be done. Just got to change that bit at the bottom for Jonathan. So I did. And with that thought, I will leave you there. Jonathan stands a chance of pulling away from me tomorrow night. So it's 5-4 at the moment, Jonathan. Let's see how that goes. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. But for the moment, it's good night from me and it's good night from Mike, who's next door in his meeting. And I'll be joining him in half an hour. So I will see you guys tomorrow. Take care, guys.